Join me in the book of Mark as we continue on in our discussion, in our preaching. And here we have another parable that Jesus is using to describe the kingdom of God. And remember, one of the main features of a parable is that it is a brief story. It is a form of literature that uses something known. It uses something common to help us or to reveal something that is unknown. Here it is an agricultural kind of illustration, and we understand seeds and planting and harvesting and things of that sort, that some vegetations grow from the smallest of seeds into the largest of plants and fruit-bearing and vegetables and all of that, some flowering. But what we do not understand, in which Jesus is trying to educate us, is in the area of the kingdom of God. And so he uses these sometimes simple illustrations, although not simple always, to help us move in that direction of understanding the kingdom of God further. So here for the third time, he uses an agricultural illustration, which the people of that day would have understood very, very clearly. And he's trying to teach us the attributes of the kingdom of God, something unknown. So join me at verse 30 of chapter 4. Mark 4:30. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. We pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of this word. Now, let this word picture sort of form in your mind. Here is a plant whose seed is as small as the sliver of your fingernail. It is one of the smallest seeds known that we have. Yet when planted, it grows to such a height that here in the illustration, it grows tall enough, large enough, strong enough that the birds of the air can light on its branches and even make their homes under its large leaves. Now, today, Saskatchewan, Canada, has the honor of being the largest producer of mustard for public consumption. But in the Middle East today, you can still find the mustard plant, and we would assume it would be similar to that which Jesus would have seen. 2,000 years probably has changed it to some degree. But that plant still grows there today. It can be seen along the edge of the fields or along the edge of the road, near the ditch. But this plant still today grows to nearly 10 feet tall. Some accounts have it reaching 15 feet tall. And in the fall of the year, the plant produces such branches and large leaves that this illustration of a bird being able to light on its branches or even make its home there certainly seems feasible. Now, with this agricultural picture in your mind, apply this concept to what Jesus is teaching. Apply this to what he's saying about the kingdom of God. In the beginning, it is incredibly small. The kingdom of God, from where we are now looking back, was incredibly small. But over time, it has grown. And over time, it will grow to such a vast, vast size. And just like the birds of the field can find their homes, their rest in this mustard plant, we find a home. We find rest. We find safety within the walls, within the boundaries of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, small in its origin, but tremendous in size when it reaches its maturity. I would like for us to take a look in the Scriptures at the actual growth of this kingdom seen in the period of time of which we have record of here in the Scriptures. So if you don't mind, we're going to do a lot of page turning here, but I want to progress the kingdom of God as it has grown. First, go with me to Mark chapter 1, which is about two pages to your left, it should be. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went out into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, here we have one person, one individual, representing the beginning, the origin, the proclamation. Let me use it that way. Its origin actually finds itself a little older than this. But here we have the proclamation by one person, Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God is here. Now go with me to Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 3, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So here, just in a few short pages, now we don't know the exact amount of time between Jesus' proclamation and this calling of 12, but here the kingdom of God has grown from 1 to 12. Very simple. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and every place where he was about to go. So from 1 to 12 to 72. Now there's a bit of discrepancy here, whether it's actually 70 or 72, but here simply we can see that the group is getting larger. The individuals who make up the kingdom of God, it is getting larger. Now, these are the only ones, these we have are the ones recorded. How many other followers have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and are not mentioned in Scripture? We have no record of that, but we would safely assume it to be many. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Now, at this point in time, Jesus is gone. And so the 12 that he has called to himself, 11 now, Matthias is back with him, so 12. They are now preaching. This is Peter. And look at what happens after Peter's preaching. Verse 40. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We went from 1 to 12 to 72 to now 3,000. And you know there are other accounts in the book of Acts where thousands at one preaching were added to the numbers. Let's jump to the end of the story a little bit. Go with me to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9. Revelation 7, 9. John, the apostle, is being visited by Jesus, and through the Spirit, he is being given this revelation of Christ, of the time of the church age. And here it says in verse 9, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." So here we've gone from 1 to 12 to 72 to 3,000 to a multitude that they don't even number anymore. Is the kingdom of God growing? Yes, it is. One more point I want to labor. Go with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19:6. Again, John, in this time with the Spirit, Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of chapter 19. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Here again we have reference to a great multitude, but now we have an attribute given to it. Sounds like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting. Question, how many people do we have to assemble for our voices when gathered together we would sound like rushing water or loud peals of thunder? Quite a bit. There is no number here, but I wanted you just to physically, literally see from the very origins of Jesus Christ on this earth. Here someone came, God Almighty came onto this earth as a child, as a baby. And he grew into a man who declared that the kingdom of God had arrived. Then he called 12 to himself. Now, get the actions of these 12. They didn't immediately go out. They were scared to death. After the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they were scared to death. They were not going out. But the Holy Spirit came, empowered them, embodied them, and grew them into the place Jesus needed them to be in the kingdom of God. And they went out preaching. We read a part of Peter's sermon. The 72 were called, the 3,000 and more were called. And then this account from the book of Revelation, we have this wonderful picture in heaven, a great multitude that no one can count, from every tribe, from every nation, from every people, from every language, all of us gathered together, standing around the throne. And our voices gathered together in such mass that we sound like a rushing river. Last time Judy and I went camping, we went out hiking. We were hunting for a waterfall that they said was down there. It was there. But so far away, you could hear it. And it led us right to it. The sound of rushing water. How many of us do there have to be for this sound to come out of us? Many. Many, many, many. Can you imagine such growth? Can you imagine all of this from a little child? Every one of you has held a baby in your hands. Almost a small, insignificant little body. But yet you know in the child you hold in your hand there is such great potential. But yet if Jesus Christ came as a child and He grew the kingdom. He grew the kingdom, you and I, into such numbers. Only the boundless, eternal power of an eternal God can bring about such an expanse. We can't do that. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and it will not have the outcome that would compare to God's desire. All of this from a little child laying in a manger. Speaking of Jesus, one thing we should know about this parable, that this parable about the kingdom of God gives illustration and is parallel to the growth of Jesus Christ Himself. Please note this from Isaiah 53. I'll read it to you. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it said, He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils among the strong. So from a tender shoot, as though he were a dead stick in the mud, grew into one that will divide the spoils of those he conquered. Smallest, most humblest origins, and yet he now sits as a king. Born as a baby to impoverished conditions. And just like the birds find safety and shelter in the mustard plant of this parable, we must know that in the kingdom of God, we find that same rest. We find that same peace. We find salvation in Lord Jesus Christ, who is that King of all kings. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, we are told of Jesus' position. He said he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. We now live in this kingdom. This kingdom that he sits over, we now live in this kingdom. And it is vast. It is vast in size and in influence. In this short parable we find in Mark 4, it is revealed to the world the boundless, incredible power of a holy and righteous God. Think about this for just a moment. The kingdom of God in its smallest origins now has influence down through the ages, down through the years. And even though we think our world is in such disarray, think of where it would be if the kingdom of God were not here. All of this could only be accomplished by a God who is omnipotent, by a God who has all power, by a God who has all authority. He can take that which is so small and simply through his desire bring it into great, great magnificence. And the beauty of this is that he can do that for you and for me as well. He will take the smallest beginnings of belief and build it into a great, great life of faith. And see, this is what he desires to do for us. This is what he desires to do for you. The planting of faith within us that is a gift of God. He wants through the Holy Spirit to grow that in you to where, just like you would parallel the kingdom of its growth, you would grow. I would grow in great faith. And only the boundless power of God can take the smallest insignificant people like we are and build us into a mighty nation. A nation that will one day stand alongside Jesus Christ, and we will be shown off, if you will, to the entire world. And Jesus will simply say, "These are my people." All of that, from a small baby lying in a manger. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? It is like a seed the farmer scatters along the ground. It grows. He does not know how it does it. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? It is like this mustard seed we have spoken of here this morning. Small in its origin, but great and vast in its maturity. Only a God who is fully wise. Only a God who is fully powerful. Only a God who is fully omniscient can do such as that. The kingdom of God is being built right now in each of us, in this world around us. As you walk out into this world, do you realize that you are an outlying marker of the kingdom of God's influence? Wherever you find yourself, you are that kingdom of God representative affecting that part of the world. So wherever you go, whatever you do, you are that person of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Small and humble in its beginning. But can you imagine how great and grand and glorious it will be in that day when Jesus Christ comes and takes us home?